Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
I am so amped tonight to get into tonight's topic. Man, I'm just so excited, and I just want you guys to get excited with me. Tonight we're going to be talking about why is it important to make a digital transition in your marketing strategy. But before we go into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show and ask God and give God the courtesy of letting him know that it was him who's giving us this blessing. Lord, thank you. Once again, let us come together collectively as a community, Lord. We ask that you bless every ear, every mind that is tuned in, locked in, loaded to Hip Hop National, and that you will give them the courage to go ahead and call in and make their voices heard so they can be a part of this movement as we go forward. We ask this in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, guys, we're talking about why is it important to make a digital transition in your marketing strategy. Well, I want you guys to look at trends. Start to look at things. Look at some of the things that have taken place. Email went into, it has taken over the U.S. postal system. People don't have to mail letters physically as they used to. You have buying music today. It's a digital process. People are no longer really relying on pressing up music anymore. Having yourself physically on a digital scale versus the physical scale is becoming more and more prominent. And today, as we move forward into this digital age, it's a revolution. And I'll tell you just like this, people don't catch up to things until they're bombarded with it, everybody's doing it. And then at that point in time, that's when people join in. They don't see the revolution changing. They don't join in where they can actually get in, capitalize on it as far as their business is concerned, and become successful at what they're doing because they're doing it before everybody else going in. It's been going on a while, but you really have to look at the transition of things, how everything, the communication is really growing differently today. I want to bring in my boy Raw Dog. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Up here in Washington State, sun came out. So, when the sun comes out up here at this time of the year, we're doing good.
Y'all was on the beach today, huh?
close to it, yeah. But didn't get in it. You know how that goes.
I feel you, my man.
For the body. But, you got a good subject going on tonight because, why should they get into this digital? Because guess what? It's here, it's now, and it's going to be here for quite a long length of time. And, as an artist, you've got to be on the cutting edge. The old time where you could do it the way they used to do it. We've talked about the transition, rap to hip-hop or hip-hop to rap. Some say hip-hop came first, then rap. Some say rap, then hip-hop. But we've talked about the transition and what is happening. The copycat era is over. You're going to have to be innovative. You're going to have to be on the front line. You're going to have to dig in and invest your money in different products that's going to give you that edge. We talk about, the product, the MP3 file, the CD, we've talked about flash drive, putting your media on that, your video and all of those things on that. We've talked about, you know, doing the little barcodes that you can scan that will, you know, people can then find your web page. And we've talked about different things, you know, as of last year. But this year is 2014, you know, and if you're not smart, you're going to be buried. You know, yeah.
I want to take you back on in history because you've been around for a minute.
Uh-oh.
And you've seen us go from the 12-inch, the 45s, you know, the tape cassettes, the 2-inch tape, what we used to record on. At that time, could you have seen the evolution moving towards this digital age? Take me back. Take me back from years, what you saw at that time, and I mean, literally, as a musician, could you see yourself seeing things being transitioned just by a send of an email? But take me back where you
Yeah. You know, the funny part about it, yeah. When I look back and see, I even remember further back than that, the 78s, which are rare, you know.
You know, you mentioned that one time to me, and I was like, yeah, I think I know the 78, but 78 sounded like it was huge.
smaller than a 30, than an LP, but larger than a 45, and they were the first one, and they were mono. They weren't stereo. And they were very rough, you know. You'd get the needle click and the hiss sound in it when you turned it up. But that was the way people listened to music. That was the format then. And yes, I imagine those that created that version of a product wished for a better product. You know, when you're in this game, you dream of better. Then, you know, because there are shortcuts. There's ways that you can enhance.
But at that time, you guys, that was the thing. That was it. Just putting it down on, pressing it up on a record. That was fascinating. It had to be.
Well, yeah, but see, but guess what? It was.
Did you think at
the
that time
only
it was
avenue?
Better?
Well, yeah. Okay, take it back to even further than the 78s. Go back to the Edison, where it was the cylindrical tube where they put music on that. You know, as an artist, you always dream that there's going to be another format that's going to really be able to let the people hear the artist in a clear, live point. See, you know, clarity back then, even the 78s, the 45s, and even the early...
Remember the 8-track?
Well, yeah, but see, now, LPs came in before the 8-track. But see, even then, the LPs, they went from mono to stereo. See, you know, the funny part about it is the transition was the request of the artist, because we were never satisfied with those sounds. And then once the LP went to stereo, they came out with tape, and that was the reel-to-reel.
Well, let's go back to where y'all went into stereo. Even the equipment was not digital at that time. Everything had a manual movement.
You know, I remember watching on television that people had phonograph players that was with one speaker in the front of it, and they'd put the needle down on the record, and that's how they would listen to their music. They didn't have, like, more than one speaker, just one speaker. And it was just, you know, it wasn't a tweeter. It wasn't a woofer. It was just a speaker. And that's how they used to listen to it. And when stereo came out, that's when the transition went to two speakers. You had a left and you had a right. Now, here's something funny. I bet you don't even know this. They had record players that played 45s that you could mount in your car.
What?
Oh, I got one in my garage. I found it years ago. I didn't buy it, but I came across it, and I just kept it. And it works. It actually works. They weren't in existence long enough to break them.
How about
because,
the shock?
Well, yeah, you go over a bump, and it would skip.
Okay.
So you literally had to be stationary when you played these. But it was a young person's thing, you know? And so the 8-track came in, and that changed the way sound was being delivered, another format. You could have four speakers, and that would give you front and rear. And so, you know, that was adequate for a minute. Actually, it brought music a long way forward because people were buying 8-track for their cars and the LPs for their home. They did have 8-track players you could have in your home, but that was so expensive that it wasn't worth a purchase. You just buy the album and you could play it on your stereo. You know, and then it went from 4-track to 8-track cartridges, and then it went to cassette. And I know you remember cassette.
I got my last release was on a cassette and CDs. They pressed up a 1,000 cassettes and 2,000 CDs.
All right. Now that you still, you know, the funny part about it is that if you can remember the cassette era, the cassette tapes didn't sound the same on your stereo would make it sound one way, and my stereo might make it sound another way because they didn't have a standard head alignment for all the machines that were put out. So you could get, you know, you'd get different sound quality. And then, you know, think about it. At that time, they used to have the underground cassettes that never sounded the way that the record industry's cassettes clarity was. You know, they would be a little
we gotta
fuzzy.
Call
yeah.
We got a caller who want to participate. Just raise their hand. Let's include them real quick. 530-346. Please state your name and where you're calling in from.
This is Dominic Natty from Natty Celebrity Services calling in.
Grace is present. Dom is another guy who can go way back, right?
Oh yeah. My ears were ringing tonight. I had to call in.
Awesome. Dominic, Rodot was filling us in on the era of us transitioning back from, you know, from 78 to 45 to 8-tracks to cassettes. Now we're on cassettes. Do you remember those days?
Yes. Yeah, I do. In fact, you know, I guess I am 35 years old now, so the most fun thing about cassettes is that you could be your own DJ.
He only remembers a little bit.
Yeah. I remember enough. So I was a media kid my whole life, so I mean, the funnest thing was making your own mixtape, you know, and that's really what brought us to, you know, where we are today with creating music is where you take different sounds that you like and create your own collaboration. And that was all done, you know, through making a cassette tape and then showing your friends and, you know, seeing if your ear for music was, you know, was the same as everybody else and you kind of make your own playlist, which now playlists are obviously only for yourself. But back then when you made a cassette tape, it made a mixtape of, like, different songs, you know, when you're driving and you say, pop this in, you know, that was your audience. You know, you got a chance to show that, you know, that you knew some of the best tracks out and knew what you could drive to. So that was kind of the fun thing about cassettes and, you know, and obviously you don't do it as much anymore, but just to be your own DJ, you know, for you and your friends.
All right, let's go to CDs for a moment, guys. And I'm going to start off with you, Raw Dog. What was it that you liked about the CD era? Because the CD era didn't seem—I mean, it seemed like it was that was it. That was the thing that we couldn't go no further during that time.
Well,
at least
see, liking the okay, CDs gave you as being in the audience with the right speaker setup and what have you, a front row seat to an event. I mean, the clarity of the CD was just, it had never been heard. And as to be a consumer, to be able to buy a product and bring it home and actually hear it, feel it, and, you know, it actually would blow your mind because it was the clearest form of delivery that I had heard and been close to, and it was actually like the band was right there in the room. But that depended upon the depth and the quality of the speakers that you're playing them through.
You know, now my question is, was CD the first transition into the digital age, in a sense? The file was created on the computer, correct, guy?
Well, yeah.
And then it was burned to the CD.
Well, okay, but see, you can transfer.
It was a WAV file that went.
Yeah, but you could have taken analog and then went and created a WAV file, a digital file, and then, you know, you could do it. So it could have started in the old fashion.
But still you had to convert it to digital to go to a CD. Am I
right? Right.
Dom, you guys there?
I think yeah, I think you're definitely right. I think that's when things started to get away from, obviously, from that analog format. And I think one of the greatest things as a music consumer was that this track starts exactly at the beginning, and you could skip exactly to the beginning of the next track, which, you know, only that digital technology brought us away from a streaming tape of all the music with breaks, pause breaks in between. You know, now it's that skipping of that digital quality where it's like you no longer have to skip around and find it, you know, in all digital media, you know, where you could just cut right from one track to the beginning of the next track, you know, and then there's no more flipping over from one side to the other side and rewinding and fast forwarding, trying to figure out what side of the tape you're on, you know. So I think that was definitely, you know, compact disc, you know, is definitely the beginning of the digital era, which moved us away from all things analog, really.
Hmm. And then we went into now we got the USB. Yeah, the USB, and it seems like that's the new thing that files are being transferred. It eliminates the CD as far as transfer of files, the DVR, video and stuff?
It's DVD?
DVD.
DVD?
Yeah, DVDs. Remember those?
Well, yeah.
Digital
but not
video discs.
Yeah, but you can still rent those.
Yeah. But even that's transitioning, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because now they've got online TV movies.
Online.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, and you know
I'm just letting you guys know this. I'm traveling there for a reason.
Well, yeah, and I understand the journey, but then you got to realize too that it's making access simpler. You know, like Dom said, you could change from one song to the other without scratching it with the old turntable needle. That was the biggest issue. You could destroy an LP by trying to find the song you wanted, because putting that needle down, actually, if you made the slightest error or too much pressure, it would scratch your recording. So yeah,
that's when it took technique to actually boom boom. You had to be skilled.
Yeah, but hey, guess what? We're all human beings. It just didn't work like that.
Everybody couldn't do it. Everybody didn't have those big collections of those.
Well, they made it so you couldn't do it. It was made so you couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to play it from front to the end, okay, fine. But they were, you know, that was just the way it was, you know. The music industry would want you to go and buy another copy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, that was one way that record sales continued on, you know. Or what if you left a vinyl out and the sun got it? It would warp. Or too close to heat.
Now let's go into the MP3 era. And now things are going through MP3s, MP4s, and we've moved into an era where it takes I can send you just through an email, and I can call you up and say, did you get it in seconds. The transition has moved, but so has the digital era of a lot marketing the product, packaging the product, and that's what I want to get into tonight. I want to talk about, and I want to go back again in memory lane, Radar, with you, because you were on front where you saw the marketing materials that was out there. Back in the 1800s.
Thanks. What a guy!
Hey,
what a guy! Hey, I want you to hold that thought right now, Poetic. We've got a call. 678-637. I see that you raised your hand. Poetic went off on the deep end. What can you say?
What's going on here, everybody? It's Dominic from Atlanta.
All right. Welcome, welcome. Now, you raised your hand. I know you got something to say.
Yeah, pretty much. I just listened to the conversation. Y'all come way back there, memory lane, with the tapes and how you used to have to use the pencil or the ink pen to rewind them, rewind or fast forward the records and try to scratch them. You didn't know what you was doing. You could mess up your records. But one thing in this digital era, if you're a DJ, I've seen DJs now pretty much have all their music on their hard drives, and you do your digital transfers at your home or your office. So everything that you need now is strictly ran off the computer. All you got to do is hook up your laptop or your desktop to a PA or a mixing board, and you got an instant party. So things have changed. Now what you're seeing is the hater race between the new school and the old school. You get some people saying, well, you're not a DJ, and you don't know how to scratch. New school cats said, if you say it about scratches, it's about how to mix your music. And that's to keep your party going. If I keep everybody on the dance floor all night, I've done my job.
Exactly.
So a lot of people thinking that having a computer is like this is equivalent to just hooking up your iPhone to a speaker. And that's how some of these old school cats have to hate sometimes.
Well, you know what? I enjoy the new digital boards that the DJs are using, because it allows them to create. You know, I've heard some outstanding mixes by DJs, and you know they turn it into an event. Whereas the older DJs, it was more of a show of their technique in scratching and whatever they did. You know, but now the new digital, it shows the inside of the mind of the DJ with his digital thoughts being able to mix and change and make moves by putting together different parts of songs. You know, I love it. I think, you know, that is a hit, you know. And so the haters, you know, hey, they're going to hate, but then they'll eventually buy the new equipment because they'll find that they can go further with it, you know. You just got to be in step, you know. We can talk about the old CDs and cassettes and what have you, and I can remember all the old stuff, Poetic, but the same point, I got the new stuff sitting right in front of me. So
that's the reason why I'm going there. I mean, this is the reason why, because people, as consumers, we really can get used and be used to things and become complacent with anything, because we are living in a fast-paced age of technology. Transforming lives, is giving new jobs, it's expanding our horizon as far as our thinking ability, the way we market things, because I remember the days when you really needed a big board and it looked good in the studio, but is it necessary today?
Oh, no.
Is it necessary today? Everything, the transition into the digital age has gotten rid of a lot of stuff. Just simple software is good enough to make a good sound.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's just how things have phased out dealing with the digital age. And this is why I wanted to go on here, because we're a marketing company, and we advertise, and the way people advertise in the past is totally different than what we did today. The tangible product is not really as you have to see a physical poster. And the thing it is, the physical poster was so dynamic back in the days where I thought, people put it on their walls and stuff like that. But now, if they want it, they'll get a digital printer. They print it out themselves. And they have 3D printers. That shows you how technology is transforming society. And if you miss out on this boat, you're going to miss something big. Raw Dog, for some reason, I'm not connected. It would be you if you could take us to a commercial. So if you could prepare it, I would appreciate it, man, because for some reason I cannot connect. But anyway, guys, tonight we're talking the digital, why is it important to transition into digital with a digital marketing strategy today. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Right on, are we ready?
We're ready.
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development, website hosting, internet audio presentation, voiceovers, professional beat production, publicity, radio and record promotion, consulting, corporate identities, event planning and promoting, printing, graphic design, CD pressing and duplication, voice on hold, radio commercial production, TV commercial production, video production, file conversion, contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's
877-580-8555. And we're back.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about why is it important to transition into the digital marketing age and with your marketing strategy. Radar.
Yeah.
As I was going back, I want to start with you, and you got to tell me who's on deck with me because I literally can't see anything right now. So, but I wanted to start back with you on this because you remember those days when you saw when you could go to record stores, okay? We received our music through the records. If we wanted something, we go in there, we can listen to, a sample of it, and we can buy our music from the physical store. Everything was physical at that time. When you walked in there, you saw a lot of poster boards, at least in my era. You could tell me about your era as time transformed. How did they market material like albums then?
Well, I can remember there was a record store in the neighborhood, and I was friends with the lady that owned it. And I would go in there at least once a week, and I'd ask her what was new. And she'd play it for me. You know, they would actually play the record. I can actually remember that they had, you could go in a booth, and they would put the record on for you, you know, and you'd put on the headset and what have you. You could listen to the music. So, you know, they actually would preview it for you to make sure that was the song that you were asking about. You know, there was a more of a service that the record stores provided. Because they were trying to make the sale. Because that was...
When you walked in the store, what was the scenery like?
Say that again?
What was the scenery like? Was there pictures everywhere of the
artists? Oh, yeah, there were pictures and albums hanging on the wall and what have you. And it was nothing but music, you know, and... You could look at all the faces on the albums and what have you. You'd look at all the Who's Coming to Town posters, and you'd see the big cardboard cutouts of some of the performers. I remember there was a Michael Jackson. There was Isaac Hayes, the Black Moses, that was 6 feet tall. They had that one in display. You know, you could, if you bought the album, it had the stand-up of Isaac Hayes, 6 foot tall, you know. So they had things that would catch your eye, that would give you some insight to the artist to make you feel as though, that's such and such, being familiar with them. Because they, you know, television couldn't see them just on every show. I remember Ed Sullivan was one of the few shows that you could see artists. So that's going back to tell me about how old I am. So maybe Dom can tell you something else about it.
yeah, it's funny you said that. I forgot about that. In the record stores, in the music stores, they used to have kiosks.
Wait, can I interrupt real quick? Radar, very important that you notice this. We got two Doms on the phone tonight.
No, there's just one. The other one dropped off.
Oh, okay. All right, okay, no problem. There you go.
All right.
and I'll tell you too. What's interesting as you're sitting there and I start to reflect, it's as a music publicist, you realize that word of mouth has always been so crucial to the music industry. You know, and obviously it becomes increasingly more crucial. You know, but who that record store tenant or employee would recommend and who they would enjoy would be so crucial to record sales in each demographic, you know, in each store. So it's like, you know, you're always trying to win people over that have influence. So I think it's interesting to hear you say that because, you know, in those times when people are buying vinyl, it's, you know, who are they going to promote? When you came in and said, what's new? You know, there was probably a dozen new vinyls, but whichever one they would select
you know, in the particular order would be crucial to sales at that store, you know. So it always kind of comes down to getting other people to promote your music for you, where now it's like if you can get a bunch of people to tweet your music or put it on social media, you know, then that is so crucial to sales, as it was back in the day to have the people selling vinyls to put them to, you know, to get them to recommend you.
Okay, how about this, guys? How about the information that we got off these the promotions that they had? We were able to get some of the songwriters who was doing it. We get all the listing of all the people who dedicated time in the production of it. We got a lot of information. We were able to connect and look at the people and see the people responsible behind the scenes, and we had it in our hands. That was important. It felt good to know that you just got the new Jackson 5, or you got the new Boyz II Men, and it felt good to have that part as a part of your collection. Remember that, the tangible feel of things, and knowing that you owned it, you had ownership of it. Remember those days.
But you got to realize that as a musician, it was more enticing to be able to diagnose who was behind the scenes and come up with the right answer. You know, I can remember Philip Upchurch. He's a guitar player. His style, and it would be, you know, an album. You'd just hear the music and you'd go, God, that sounds like Philip Upchurch. Or, you know, or a David Sanborn, or, you know, different musicians.
How did you get those names brought up?
Well, but see, that's
it. How did you start to identify and connect with them?
But see, that's the catch to it. They gave you all of that information, either on the inside of the album, on the flip cover, or they might have had a book in there. I can remember Chicago had a complete book with their set. You know, or it would be somewhere where when you open the album, they used to have a cover that would flip out, and it would be on that portion of it, the different artists that participated in each individual song. And, you know, so it was more like an understanding of their formula, like a Motown formula. You know, they had certain musicians, or Watt Stack, who had Isaac Hayes was the keyboardist, and you had, I can't think of his name now. He was the other organ player for them. Oh, and I thought I'd never forget the guy, but I'll think of it later. You know, different musicians, their styles, the flavor, you know, that became the trademark, or the ones that you wanted to study their technique. See, you know, as a musician, that was the great pleasure of buying an album, because I could investigate and see who the artists that participated and the quality that they brought to it. You know, you'd be surprised. There was a lot of artists that were with different labels that did many, many albums that never came to the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Dominic, how about you?
Yeah.
How do you?
Yeah, I think
you
that's
miss
a,
that tangible
that's a,
feel and that ownership of that library that you could once own and say, this is my selection, music collection. Yeah.
I think that you're right. I think that there is something to, like I said, and where I go back is like in the 90s where, you know, people would, your friends, like I said, would get in your car and they would see a picture or a cassette case or whatever, and you're, you know, like I said, you are advertising that I got the new whatever, you know what I mean? I got the new Boyz II Men tape, you know, and then you got the picture of that. It's right there, you know what I mean? Everybody can kind of look through it, and it was a lot more visual and tangible, you know, for everybody to, you know, to kind of get involved, where now if it's in your iPod, I mean, like my wife
listens to just a crazy collaboration of like 80s music to Adele to Tupac to, you know, Young Jeezy. And it's just like, it's all over the place, but you would never see that in somebody's, you know, tape or album collection because, you know, they're physical. You know, you got to buy the whole album, you know, or, I mean, it's something so physical, it's like you're going to get who you like the most, and you're going to attach yourself to that artist. And not just one song by that artist, but, you know, it's a commitment to purchase an entire album, you know, and put that in your collection. Where now it's just people are just looking for singles that they like of a huge, you know, variety. So I think there is something about actually seeing people's face and having something tangible, and you get attached to it because, you know, you're putting it in your life. You know, there's
but
something
you,
physical.
But you remember, it was like passion. It was a pride that, hey, I got
yeah.
the latest so-and-so, man, and you would be proud to say, I
yeah.
got this in my library.
You're displaying
you
who you are by displaying what music you have for people to see. You know,
well,
I mean, and that's what you would put in, yeah.
Let me give you guys a golden secret.
Mm-hmm.
The women loved a guy that had a lot of albums. That was a conversation for you. You could
mm-hmm.
sit and sip good wine or a good drink or whatever you do and pick up a cover and open it up. And the women love that. They love, you know, I found that women are deeper in trying to, in learning about who's in the album, what the backup.
Somebody's phone is like got a lot of background noise.
Oh, I don't think
that might be me. Let me call you back from another number.
That'll be fine.
All
right. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, you know, it women seem to be more intelligent about who's on an album, the backup singers. I remember Patti LaBelle was a backup singer for Laura Nero, you know, and she was on her album, Maxanne. There was a lot of great musicians on that. George Duke. Now, I know you're familiar with that name. He has been on a lot of different productions. And so, you know, it was to have albums for something.
That?
Say that again.
Is George Duke still alive?
Is George Duke still alive?
Yeah.
I think he passed away.
I remember the name.
If I'm not mistaken.
I got to research it. We'll research it. We won't say nothing, but I just thought.
Okay. As unfortunate, yeah. And we just lost another one, Avery. Phil, you know, so.
Yeah, and, our condolences go to his family.
Yes, to him and his family. And great loss of what I'm understanding. I never met him, but a very good individual, you know. And
good
so, you know, I,
very good.
God bless his family, you know. But, you know, hey, getting back to this digital thing, you know, it's, the thing about it is that the transition has only given more clarity and depth to the music scene. The products are definitely made to, well, yes, in all actuality, yes. The clarity, the definition, the separation, you know, the filters that allow you to enhance.
Don't get me
I
wrong, all the way around. I'm talking about even in marketing, the pictures, the clarity, the pixels, all of that looks. It's just the digital age has brought a new life to imaging.
If you're not going to get in step, you're not going to get respect because it takes an investment if you're going to be in the music industry and what have you to invest. In different tools, different pathways. And if you don't know which way to go, you know, there are some that we understood and learned that are free. But you need somebody to guide you through it. It's just not like you can pick it up and go at it. There's some knowledge that you need before you open up those doors so that you're not making mistakes as you do it, you know. So it's a new day. It's a new era.
Yeah.
To know where we came from to where we are now.
I agree. But the reason why I went down in this lane for a second is because now we can't get complacent. We all know that because the way things have transitioned, I'm talking about things have phased out. I mean, don't get me wrong. We don't need the U.S. Postal Service solely anymore to communicate with people that we know across the world. Across the globe, we can reach out. We had to wait on a letter to receive that letter for someone to open that letter and then read that letter. Now, we got an email, well, just a click of a button, then we can see if they even open up the letter by just clicking on it and saying, check to see if they received it.
Well, yeah, and you know what that did. You know, you know who went out of, almost and literally is out of business behind the internet and the way it's doing things. Bet you can't even guess.
Who?
Western Union. We know
the record stores did.
No. Western Union.
Oh, Western Union.
Western Union. Remember this.
You can. And now this is important, guys. I'm just letting you know. If you are a musician, you better get you a PayPal. You can get a MoneyGram. You can get a Western Union. But PayPal is the thing to have today.
Exactly.
So you can get paid on a digital scale. Yes, sir.
When's the last time you heard anything about Western Union?
Well, you know, Western Union also has a digital, they made a digital transition, but they're not as big as, because they were behind the eight ball, PayPal and many of the other sources, which I wish I had my internet with me. I can just claim, name them off the top of my screen. But they definitely were behind the eight ball when PayPal was doing digital stuff. They were still doing it. But Western Union, I use it still. There are people who say, Poetic, I cannot send my money via PayPal. Could I do it through Western Union?
Yeah, but guess what?
Yes, sir.
Guess what? PayPal doesn't charge you money to send money.
Oh, absolutely. That's not true.
Well, now, wait a minute now. If everything that I have purchased or bought, they never charge me.
Yeah, but they take a processing fee every month out of your thing. And then they'll give money for making money, you know, using their thing. They give you money.
Well,
I think,
okay.
I don't know if they take it, what end they take it out of, but they do take a transaction, like if you were to be receiving money, they take a little bit from it, from every proceed, but just a little
bit. Okay, now that's a business account.
Yeah.
No, you know what? That's a business service account, but a personal.
Oh, okay.
They don't take it. They don't take it out. Now there's where, you know, I'm going to say it. I come from the generation that the fees that Western Union charged to send messages, to transfer money, they were ridiculously high. And guess what? I would never, ever use them again. So hooray for the internet for sending messages. And thank you, PayPal. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's so many people that have a bad taste of when they tried to send money to a loved one or something, and that fee was charged to them. And
I mean
it wasn't a little
PayPal came out and beat MasterCard and Visa.
Yeah, but you know what? Not even the deep fees that Western Union charged. I mean, the Western Union had you by the ganoogies. Jesus. I mean, if you needed to get something there fast, it was either Western Union or the U.S. mail. You know, and now even here how the digital transition has even come about when it comes to long-distance phone calls. I can remember where every long-distance phone call, you were charged for the time you talked. Now, one flat fee.
I mean,
and you have full access.
One flat fee, and yeah, exactly. And but let's go talk about this digital transition now. Boom.
Well, we've
okay.
got a caller.
Now,
we've got a caller with their hand up. Let's see who's. Okay. Here we go. Caller 954-203. Who's got their hand up here?
My name is Jametti.
Yeah. Hey. Welcome to Hip Hop National, Jametti.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Poetic, did you set me up? Is she going to throw me under the bus?
Oh, no.
I will not throw you under the bus.
Well, he laughs, see, so I have to expect. You never know. He's a little
scared there. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you got me scared.
Then we attack it.
I did want to say to the PayPal account, because I did not want there to be a misunderstanding as far as that is concerned. Yes, PayPal is free whenever you use it to buy something or to make a payment in the USA, but someone is incurring a fee because the seller incurs a 2.9% transaction fee for the sale.
Mm. Okay.
So
US,
the actual buyer, you're not paying anything, but the person who sells is paying something.
Oh. Well, thank you for that.
If you're selling something,
I've never sold anything.
If you're selling something, that's when they take it out.
Oh.
Yes. When we go on to pay a bill or to purchase something, we're not paying anything. However, if you choose to set up an account so that individuals can utilize the PayPal service, you are paying a 2.9% transaction fee.
Oh. Oh.
And that also sometimes includes a 30-cent per transaction fee as well, in addition to the 2.9%. But usually when you transfer money to your family and friends, it's free for you. And, you know, the recipient, when they receive your funds or transfer it to their PayPal account, there may be a small fee as well for international accounts and things of that nature, but typically that's free.
Okay. You can tell
Jametti,
I never sold anything.
Jametti, even
yeah.
today, let's think about that. Let's talk about selling things, okay?
Okay.
There was a time you had, let's just say, the swap shop I know you're familiar with here.
Okay.
Where you could trade stuff. People had to literally see the item before they make the purchase.
Yeah.
Today, we can put a physical picture. Okay, so what it look like? Boom, we shoot a picture with our phones.
Yeah.
The digital transition. Boom, send it in on a clip. We can send a text. You know, text media file, or we can send an email. But it's just
mm-hmm.
that quick in access to sell something. We can sell it from our house and send it across the country. Just based on the picture that we sent.
Exactly. But But in that, consumers have to verify the source that's advertising or sending. So in some cases, you're finding, even now, if you don't mind my veering in this direction, that you actually have to validate or verify that the individual sending the merchandise is actually the individual sending, and the merchandise that they are posting or advertising is actual merchandise, because computer crimes, as we evolve into the technology realm of conducting business, they're also increasing.
Exactly. That's why they really ask you to use a credit card, rather than a debit card, so that if there is a problem with that transaction, or if you are, you know, you're guaranteed to get your money back. You know, in the beginning, it was really loose, and a lot of people got taken, you know. And then now they kind of set up a few guidelines that protect you and the reputation of the business that you're going through. You know, they'll also monitor that to make sure it is a, you know, that it comes up to the ratings and satisfaction. Because they'll do a survey about your product after you get it, if you buy it through PayPal. I've gotten it, and they wanted to know the service, the product, was I satisfied, you know, all of those things. So you got to qualify to be able to be a seller.
Yes. And some, and with some merchant sellers, Amazon to be one, not to, you know, give them any free, you know, advertisement here, but with Amazon, yes. With Kindle, yes. But there are you don't verify anything when you go to Craigslist.
Oh.
And a lot of merchants are now doing business there. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that you have to do your due diligence and confirm and verify yourself, do the legwork. And unfortunately, because of the cost of doing business in the United States these days and the state of the economy, you have a lot of small business owners who are having to transfer to such sites. So, I mean, it's all about doing due diligence. I mean, taking a little extra time to verify your source as well as safeguard your finances. You know, a little bit more time will do you well there.
Okay. Now, how important is it today? And I'm going to ask you guys this, because we soon getting ready to go take a little short break, and then we'll be right back. But I wanted to ask you this. As far as the transition now, Jemetti, I'm aware that you have a business. And
yes.
Marketing your business, the strategies in which you need to use today, are you up on some of the techniques that's now available to market to your target audience? What are the advantages that you see in the digital age versus the age of yesterday?
I believe that in the digital age, it's easier to brand your company, which is a very important, you know, aspect of growing your business. The digital age has made that a lot easier, but it's made it a lot easier to become a globally recognized company as well. It allows you to find clients that...
Would you also say it made it more easier to get lost in the sauce too?
I'm sorry, repeat that for me, please.
Is it also easy to get lost in the sauce if you don't know how to handle your digital media?
If you do not know how to handle your digital media, it could kill your business a lot faster than, you know, the way the old way or the traditional way of doing business was run. You could, you could cause an empire to collapse in a matter of seconds these days. But you can also build one in a matter of seconds. But that also goes back to, and I believe you had a one of your topics recently, in the recent past, was business ethics. You are your business card these days, because with the ever-growing evolution of social media and advertisement, people are watching what you're doing on social media. You are your business card, and your friends or your attachments are your references.
I agree with that 100%. What you think about that?
Well, I agree. I agree. You know, this digital age is moving so fast that, you know, it's hard to keep up with the inside track. You know, and, you know, the thing about it, you know, when we start to talking about, you know, what used to be and what is now, you know. Have you ever had a jar full of pennies and took them to the bank and they told you, oh, no, we don't count them anymore? I mean, it's like that. It's like that. You have
yeah.
to keep up with the way the world is changing, you know. And if you don't, you're not going to be marketable. You're not going to be they're not going to be able to find you, you know.
Exactly.
It's funny. But, you know, if you're going to do business in this world, you've got to watch the news. You've got to listen to shows like this with the different input on the changing of the world. And, you know, you just – it's – and you hope you don't miss what you need to know. You know, that's – I'll tell you something funny. Okay, you know, to get a ticket, you used to think that the police officer used to have to give you the ticket. Now you can go through a school zone, and if there's a yellow light flashing,
I know that's not the way.
if there's a yellow light flashing, it means reduce your speed to 20. But they don't tell you there are driveways you can come out that you don't see the yellow light. You just see the flash.
Right,
if it takes a picture of your light.
White light flash, like real loud. That means they took a picture of your tag, and you're getting a ticket.
Yes, exactly.
Now,
you know what? See, now that in itself is a got-you moment. If you're not aware that this is the digital age, and that there, you know that things are changing, and you keep you keep abreast of what's going on. Man,
but you know the digital age is taking jobs, man. I mean, as we're talking about this, they've removed a lot of toll people just based on now it's toll to plate, and they take a picture of your plate, and then you have to pay the toll, and then they've removed all the booths, you know. It's sad in a sense, but creating jobs for more upper echelons, because they have to come up with more digital techniques and software and stuff that need to be created. But don't get me wrong, the lower class who may have need that job, that job is gone. It's phased out.
Well, yeah. See, the old way of doing it.
Yeah.
See, you know, the lazy man cannot be lazy anymore. He's got to be intelligent, and therefore he has long vacations.
Yeah.
But he's got to be intelligent, man, because nowadays, it's even you can go to the. I went to the grocery store the other day. Now, the girl that was checking out people's groceries and what have you had a long line. But then where you can check it out yourself and just scan it and put it in your own bag, and you have to pay cash, so you need your debit card, and you're in and you're out, and everybody's still standing in line. You know, you go to Home Depot. I'm sure they got that there.
Yeah,
you know, it's to a degree, okay, I understand it, I welcome it, because I hate standing in long lines. But in the same respect, I miss the person that would check you out, you know, that would price it up and tell you how much.
No, there's nothing.
But you know what? I hate to say it, a lot of them had foul attitudes. So, I mean, they got what they got coming, you know. But, hey. Other than that, you know, it's the technology. It's the change. It's,
and the reason why I went there, guys, because reality, if we're not up on this digital transition of how things are going, really, we could get very much lost in the sauce. And when it comes to this music thing, it definitely has changed the industry. It has gotten rid of record companies. I'm talking like major record companies. Because they're not doing record sales anymore. They're selling singles now through a digital, through an MP3. And that MP3, they're trying to get a handle on it by putting, you know, international standard recording codes in it. They're trying to regulate it by digital management rights and stuff like that. But yet, they really can't, that they don't have a hold on 100% because music is no longer protected the way it used to be protected, as in the sense of someone stealing your stuff, because it's so readily available. It has also cheapened the cost of what we used to have to pay for. We used to have to buy a whole album in order to get the one single that we really want.
Yeah, but you know
other
what?
Other than we know in the hood we were able to get out, you know.
But you know, I really think that the copyrights are, it's going to change. It's going to loosen up. And the reason I say that is that, you know, the only thing using the same vocalist that's already done that song in your production, using that person, but the musical side, the copyrights are going to change on that, because the sounds can be recreated and don't have to be taken from that other artist. You know, the funny part there, you talk about the digital age. Now, I bought my son a bass a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought him a headset and one of the silent units that all you have to do is plug the guitar and he can hear just as though it was coming through the amplifier, the same quality. Now, the funny part about it is he found where they have all the tabs to every song. And tabs are the note structure.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, we came in the other day, and he had his guitar. Now, this is a year ago. My son's fingers were flying over this thing. And I go, well, wait a minute. Where'd you learn all of that? He said, well, the tabs are online. And all I had to do is know the notes, and I can play. Played like somebody had been playing 10 years, 12 years.
Wow.
And I'm going,
don't get me wrong, Rodolph. Everybody cannot do what this son was doing. He's gifted.
But see, that's the catch to it. Yes, these young people. Now, I'm trying to tell you something. We talk about PlayStation and all of those things. But
oh,
see,
you
that
must be talking about me, man. I'm a young man.
Yeah. Okay. That's the basis. you say you're a young man, but you be thinking like an old guy. Sometimes I have to tell you, come on, catch up with me. But listen, man, seriously, no. See, their fingers playing these games, they've already got them into an independent use, independent.
I never thought about it, but you're absolutely right.
And when they look at these tabs and they find out where the notes are, it's no longer like the old way. We have to figure it out, our fingers, get them flexible and what have you. They can do this, you know, and it amazed my wife.
Have you ever thought of that way where he just said?
Say that again?
I was asking Jametti, have she ever thought about what you just said about, as in the sense of how the video games have actually changed the dynamics of the use of the fingers, because digitally they're forced to move it faster.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Well, I've watched the way that it has made children who otherwise would not have learned to play the piano or the saxophone. I've watched the way it has caused them to evolve musically. We actually had that conversation with a non-for-profit that's here in Fort Lauderdale. A lot of the kids, when you ask them, well, how did you learn to play the saxophone? Well, I used to play it on my PlayStation, or I used to play it on my Xbox. And when I put it into practice, yeah, I was a little rusty, or I had to, you know, figure out the better motions of the keys, but it was easier for me because the flexibility and the memory of the fingers, you know, is they change. So yeah, he's right with that. Yeah.
And you know, I hate to say this, but the only thing they taught us in school to get our fingers limber and what have you was typing.
Yes.
And I couldn't type worth a darn without looking at my face.
Dude, I've been typing now for over 100 years, and I still can't type.
Yeah. See, but it's like, you know, the young people, now, you know, you have to even think about it even in there when they text each other.
Yes.
They are using both fingers, thumbs and what have you, in texting. And, they are learning to use their brain and their flexibility in their fingers to be able to do all of this, where we weren't taught that. We were taught to hold that pencil with your right hand.
It was a business strategy to create that change.
I think
that was a business movement, or was that just that was a default of the transition of going into doing digital videos and all of this stuff, playing these video games? Do you think it was just by default, or it was part of the strategy to get kids mobile, at least in that area, because they don't exercise like we used to? They don't get a chance to go out.
I believe it was more so of a side effect.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that some people or
it was
some music.
What did you say, Jemani?
I believe it's like medication. It's a side effect. I believe it was, it was a side effect for a better use of word. But I think it's just one of the things that are now being realized, and I think some of the great music teachers or teachers who have a love for music are starting to realize that they can challenge that, much like finding out what a person's motivational DNA is. You have a lot of kids in band who don't want to be a man. Teachers have to learn to be creative, and as a result, they develop great musicians.
Because, like your son, Rondo, what you were saying, that's how my nephew is. This dude just all of a sudden, honestly, he played a lot of video games, and it's like all of a sudden he just took on the keyboard. I mean, he got a musical ear, but he picks up a lot of digital. I mean, like Cakewalk, not Cakewalk. I'm not gonna say that. It's a Fruity Loops. That, and then he also started picking up. The one that Pro Tools. He just automatically.
Now, when you start talking about the digital age, and you talk about that portion of it, you have to think about the MIDI instruments.
What I'm saying is he's able to take what he's learned there, and then he sings on a keyboard, and boom, he's playing that too.
Right, but see, guess what? The digital age, I don't know if you're familiar with the program GarageBand.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that one, Poetic?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. Now, GarageBand is like a video game. You can take a loop, change the timing of it, even if it doesn't match the key to, let's say, the guitar and what have you, the program will change it so that it will match it. So you have all of these tools at your fingertips, and the kids are very creative because the video games gave them that inside thought process to be able to build pyramids out of machine things. We weren't taught that. We were taught that to build a house, you need a hammer and a saw.
Uh-huh.
But you can now buy a modular house that comes almost assembled, and in a few hours, you've got the framework of a house. See, the digital age and the tools that the young folks have at their fingertips are making them more advanced if they have the passion to apply a little bit of logic and time. This is their now time. This is their time. And the technology is geared for them. They've been brought through the process. Mario, when you jumped up and you didn't see anything, but you thought something was there, so you tried it, and you found out, oh, it let go of the mushroom to get taller, is the same thing that the software is presenting to these young folks. Let me put the sound through here, and let me see, and make it, and it's the new thing. T-Pain.
Yeah.
See, so when you start to think of the digital age, it's all around you.
Yeah.
There's no going back. Yes.
I want to ask this question here as far as strategy is concerned, because this is something that was aching me. And it was the tangible thing. Do you guys feel that it's like a disconnect to physical products? Eventually, only physical products is what we're going to have, that's where we're at. All we have is the phone.
Well, no. But go ahead. Ladies first.
I mean, we got the phone, we got the computer. But, hey, don't get me wrong, it was a luxury having a picture of from a magazine. It was a luxury having pictures from newspaper clippings and stuff. Now, it's all digital. And then, I'll be honest with you, I had stories written on my daughter. When I went to go back to look for that link, it was gone.
Right.
You have a lot of that going on now, yeah.
That's what the young folks are going to find out. But see, that's what the young folks are going to find out, and they're going to change that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, I tried to tell my kids, when you spend your money, you want something to show where your money went.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things you can spend your money in, and you won't see what you spent your money on. Where did it go? You know, you don't have something to hold. They're going to get back to that, because after they really sit down and find out that, you know, that some of these sites, you know, they have sites now where they say you can store your information or store your CDs and what have you outside of
the computer. Like cloud.
Right. When they disappear, they have nothing.
Exactly.
And they're going to disappear one day. Or
Let's
somebody's
go to
going to hack it.
Let's go to the Rolodex. Remember, everybody used to keep their phone on their little Rolodex. Their phone number, they'd write it down, boom, boom. But they had those numbers. They had them.
Yeah.
Me, I'm going to tell you something. I had some digital contacts. I'm talking about literally, I had probably about 30,000 contacts. And I'm not kidding. And in recent times, I lost at least about 15,000 of those contacts because of Google. Something, when I got my new phone, I went from one phone to the next phone. It affected the loss of it. So I got to figure out from Google how to get my contacts back.
Right. You can't take too long.
We rely that they're just going to be there.
Well, you know what they say.
Oh, what they say about that?
He catch a fool bumping in his head. Because there's no guarantee. There's just an assurity. But they can't guarantee it. If they guaranteed it, you'd have a financial gain to retrieve from that. So they just assured you that you would always be able to have that information.
Mm-hmm.
but they didn't guarantee. So,
what's your thoughts, Jermaine?
I believe, like Raw Dog just said, I believe they assured you that you would have access to your data, regardless of where you are. They didn't guarantee that it would always be on their server or in their database so that you could automatically retrieve it. I mean, if it gets lost, then, I mean, that's just error.
Hey,
as he said, it's on you
as a consumer, correct?
No. You know what they call that, don't you?
What?
An act of God.
And I was about to say, I think it states that anything that any natural act that I guess how do they put it?
How
I remember
is that a natural
reading,
act that they lost my contact?
Hey, service now every day, and they always tell you they allow access. They always recommend that you save it somewhere else first. And then upload it to your Dropbox or your cloud space, wherever, you know, so that you can have access if you're out and you have to, if I'm out having a meeting with you, Poetic, if I'm out having a meeting with you, I want to access it. I can pull it up on my cell phone. It's making it readily accessible to you. It's not guaranteeing that it would always be there for you.
Now here's something that Poetic and I know from working here through Blog Talk. What is the phrase when you go to Blog Talk and there's an issue? What is that one three-letter word that comes up on the screen?
In Blog Talk?
Yeah. When there's been a technical issue. You don't remember it, Poetic? It's a four-letter word. Oh, oops. That, you know,
yeah,
you'll go
oops.
There and it'll say, oops.
Yeah, oops.
There's a problem. But they guarantee that you will be helped. But, the funny part about all of this is this. I come from the old school. If I spend my money, I want to see something for it. You know, when you go to old folks' homes and what have you, their house and what have you, they got stuff all along the wall. Have you ever noticed that? You'll go into a room and they'll have something in every position along the wall, all the way around the wall.
Yes.
Because you know why? Because they want to see where their money went.
Exactly.
You know, the young folks, this is disposable world. Oh, that's old. That's out of date. They get rid of them. Nobody's
you know what
that
I
anymore.
Have experienced, though? And I'm going to tell
what?
You what I have experienced. I've experienced working with a certain person. I ain't calling no names, but I sure want to. Anyway, and this is not you, Rona, that they have given me links as a service product to maybe a EPK or a profile. But they control that on their server. So if they get angry with you, if they don't have an agreement with you, you don't have an agreement with them, you know they can literally turn it off and you have no more access to it.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
They can serve it to you. I mean, and then they put it in your email. But they're giving you a link to the file. But if you don't want it, they can turn it off, and it won't show up in your email in your search anymore.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
Oh, well. You don't need to
call. Give us some inside information.
There are other people who can do that.
Act like you got Tourette's and just scream out their name.
I almost want to.
But you know what? See, the funny thing about young people, they've always spent their money and had very little to show for it.
Yeah.
You know, they became, you know, it's funny because young people are the generation that when the parents pass away, there's nothing to leave them because they got it while they were coming up. It used to be I could, you know, my parents was, I'd ask for something, they'd say, nope, nope, go get a job, nope. $100 tennis shoes, Jordan tennis shoes, would have definitely have never been a discussion around the dinner table for the ugliness that would have came from my boss.
You tell me. You want they're not rolling that one off.
You want me to pay $100 for what?
That's light, Bill.
Hey. His eyes would have rolled up. He'd have put his fork down, and he would have said, you need a real good job. Quiet as it's kept, you know, this is why the young people of today, they get to play games like Nintendo and what have you, and hopefully, you know, I said Nintendo just so I wasn't publicizing any of the ones that are really, really out there, but so that they can become a marketable individual in the up-and-coming years because things have changed. Technology, the digital world, it's here. It's not leaving. I don't know what's going to replace it. That gets kind of scary because that sounds like, you know, robots and what have you. And they're going to – oh, they sent out drones today. So the delivery man is almost extinct. They sent the drones out from Amazon to deliver packages to your home when you've ordered. So now the digital age.
What'd you say, the drones?
Yeah.
I heard about that recently.
If you buy something from Amazon, they have drones. And if it's not over, I guess, maybe, 20 pounds, the drone will take flight and deliver it to your door.
Wait, yeah. But how does the drone get to your house?
Look here.
GPS. It's just a number programmed in, and they deliver. Just as if your phone, it's the same way your phone works. It works on a satellite Wi-Fi type or a GPS action.
As far as delivery, it don't fly to your house. It don't.
Yes,
it does.
Get
here.
Yes, it flies to your house.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Order for it.
Hey, Poetic.
You gotta be kidding me.
Poetic.
What?
I want you to go to the airport. I want you to buy a ticket. I want you to fly to Colorado and meet me there. I bet you don't even know why, do you?
No.
Okay, this is 2014. The pop store is open. I think it's time for us to go and see what a city or a state looks like that everybody's walking around high. It'll probably blow your mind.
Hello.
Do you realize in this digital age, they had people lined up six blocks to buy marijuana? So guess what? Yes, they have drones that are flying to people's houses because it's going to get scary out here.
That's
you have a bunch of high people sitting around looking up at the sky going, was that a bird? That was a drone delivering a package.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You didn't watch the news?
I think they started advertising that right before Christmas.
Right. And
didn't that come from George Jetson?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you know what, Poetic? You know why they're doing that?
Why?
Because people are following the UPS and the FedEx trucks. And when they drop a package at the people's door and pull away, they're going up to the door and stealing them.
Yeah.
So the drones are no longer the trucks.
I got to see that. I heard about
place an order on Amazon today and select the option.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you start to consider the digital world, wow, things are changing in such ways as the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that we used to see in cartoons, you have to remember, that was put in
too.
The kids' minds. That was put in the children's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they are making
wrong.
Them come
the phone,
real.
The phone is something that we actually saw on the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight and you remember
seconds.
On Superman or one of them, they had the wrist, the telephone communicator. Telephones have gone to wristwatches now.
Yes, they have.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Telephones are now in wristwatches.
Yes.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
So when we start talking about the things we used to show the kids, their imagination made them creations.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it wasn't put out there for them to figure a way for it to be. We thought it was just funny cartoons, and we didn't pick up on it. But the kids did. And
right.
They have
we
the tools
ready
to
round
make
this
it work.
We're getting ready to round this up, Raw Dog, and I want to get it from both guys.
All right.
What is it? Why do you think it's important that your company evolve to having a digital marketing strategy to that? I'm going to ask you that coming to you, Jeanette.
Okay. Well, I believe it's very important to be competitive in today's market. I mean, you have especially the smaller businesses, you have the larger businesses with more human resources to do the marketing, and they too are converting to the digital marketing strategies. But also you're allowed to reach a lot more people, and it is, I guess, more appealing to the eye. It is something, they have a term that they use, that success. And what it is, it's something that sparks an emotion in the brain that forces you to recall the silly or the less often used techniques in marketing. So you're able to recall what you see. And being a visual society these days, we have more people who are utilizing computers, phones, for business or for purchases, as far as consumers are concerned, and it actually reaches more on a global scale than paper. No one's reading paper these days.
Yeah, it's amazing how the paper really has phased out. But
yeah.
Do you think the paper products will completely phase out as far as media is concerned?
I don't believe that it will completely phase out, no.
But will it be conducive to produce it? Because it takes ink, it takes presses to press and print all of this stuff up. Like the ages are changing. Now, don't get me wrong, the offset press, I was getting ready to go into media talk, but the presses that press up the product is beginning to be a dinosaur.
Well, you look at it this way. If you say in the next 20 years, would it possibly mm-hmm. completely phase out or potentially be non-existent? I would say, yeah, because we're dealing with a group of technology kids where the baby boomers are passing on, et cetera. You know, yes, we are living longer than previously, but you still have those individuals with the old money who prefer to do things prefer to find out things on paper. So I believe the person or the entity that continues to produce paper will also be able to continue to hold that niche in the market, as well as do the digital advertising, promotions, et cetera, to capture that niche. It's all about learning the demographics and who you're planning on serving and who you want to reach. So it's going to require a lot of study as well, you know. And that's one thing I think that we as parents, you know, middle-aged parents, we should teach our kids. We should teach them to build servers instead of throwing the computers out at each Christmas when it no longer works. Take it. Turn it into a server. Build your own server. Become an independent. You know,
exactly.
I mean, different things, you know, of that nature. So it's like I said, it's evolving. If you say in 20 years, yeah, it may phase, but it's not going to phase completely out.
Well, you know what?
I got a whole bunch of old computers here.
But,
go ahead, Ronald.
I got to say this. Yes, we're going to still need paper, but not as a media way, because you know what we taught our children? Backpacks are heavy. Why do we need all these books and all these papers that just get wrinkled? They're going to change that. They're going to change
Well, right now, that's evolving. You know, a lot of schools are giving kids tablets. They got
right.
libraries. Tablet,
and,
a Kindle.
And
but the
we
factor,
made it
the
that
factor
way.
Made, sorry.
Do you realize that the parents made it that way because of the fact that to get a good education or to get the grades that were necessary in passing classes, did you ever try to pick up your child's backpack?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
they were talking about how their spines were curving because of the weight of the books they were having to carry back and forth. This is the generation that's going to do, is going to take it, and they're no longer going to have their children carrying those heavy books.
But, yeah, again, that's like 20, 30 years, you know, in the future.
Right.
We're still, yeah, they may phase out, but it's still not going to, you know, I want to always be able to have something in paper available to touch. Yes, I want my computer or electronics as well, but I want to be able to physically see things. Some things I want to be able to hold.
True.
You know, I see the paper.
Would you buy
I read about
a world encyclopedia today? Remember that? You get an encyclopedia collection. It took up your whole entertainment center.
You are old.
I remember those. But there's certain historical moments that you want to be. Either they're going to be printed for you, or you're going to be forced to print them. So paper
right.
is still going to be needed. Because I mean, if let's say, you know, we hypothetically speaking. But let's say we get an African-American woman president. I want to physically be able to see that in print somewhere on a shelf or be able to print it myself.
See how women stick together?
But, yeah, I really want to be able to see those things. And those are the things that as far as the digital market, those are the things that we need to be teaching our kids to make them more competitive. You know, we're being drawn to other countries to teach other individuals business just so that they can come through our, you know, come here and establish better business practices than those that we even taught them, if I made sense when I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I've recently been asked to go to China or Japan to teach business for 2 years. I'm going over to teach someone what our practices are just so that they can come over and buy the big factories or buy, you know, car manufacturers or something, place them here and take over our businesses, and then our children are left unemployed because they're not up to par. So these are the things that we need to teach them in the music industry, in the business, any type of business industry, entertainment, you know, marketing, management, all of that, all of the above. So.
Mm-hmm. Because don't get me wrong, it affects everything. I mean, it's cool that when you're looking at all these things, but there's a lot of factors involved that is changing the way we live, the way we react and respond to things, because it's now what we used to have on a tangible scale, and we're able to. I mean. It has totally changed. Now it's an electronic transition, even money. Money is definitely went to a electronic. I mean, it's always been that way, in a sense. because the banks used it.
Well, yeah.
You know, that it's just a transfer of a it was just a transaction in the bank. But now, that's how we purchase stuff everywhere.
But do you realize that, you just
What's
said
that?
Something that if you've ever been to a casino and you don't have a U.S. bill that has the little bar, the metal strip in it, the machines, slot machines, will not accept your money because it doesn't.
If
have
you don't
that,
have the new U.S. bill,
no, you know that you know you, if you hold a bill up to the light, there is a line in it.
Oh, the watermark.
No, there's a line in it.
No, there's a strip that's in it. It'll actually, it's almost like a little plastic strip, and it has the denomination of the bill and all that. That's one of the, in addition to the linen
so
paper and
old dollar bill, it no longer takes. It rejects it.
It will reject it because it doesn't have that in it.
Hmm.
And that's how the machine can tell the denomination of the bill you're putting in.
Okay.
So it's a digital age.
Segregation of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put an older
so
bill
that
in.
That dollar is being tracked everywhere that dollar is going.
Well, yes.
But
you can't make a transaction in the slot machine unless it's a newer with that little bar in it in the machine.
Wow. Interesting.
And did you also know, I got to give another tidbit. We talk about the digital world. You can tell where I went with my wife today, the casino. Do you know they have
the casino?
did you know they have visual recognition?
Excuse me?
Casinos have visual recognition systems.
Visual recognition.
You know,
okay.
When you use the slot machine, it's a visual thing.
When you walk in the building,
find out. Oh wow!
I guess I guess it's a way of recognizing their frequent customers, or
and
no,
those that
I think
have
it's
won.
A way. It's all yeah, who have won, and if they won,
no,
those
yeah,
who,
and it tracks
those
you.
Who did not win, those who do not win, and end up with the money. They get a chance to visit the prison system.
Well, yeah, and it also tracks comps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most casinos will give you a comp if you gamble for over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that when you sign up and you get one of their cards so you can get a comp when you go, you show your driver's license. That then they put in their computer. So that you just show their membership card. Oh, okay, I've been to this casino. This is me. You know, I want to sign up for my comp in 2 hours. It will track you to see if you played for 2 hours.
Well,
oh, wow.
You know that. I haven't really been there. What is a comp?
I was about to say, I haven't frequented the casino, but I'm guessing that's the advertisement like you see on the billboard sometimes that lures the people in when they say they're giving
is
you funds.
Is that what it is?
Well, you know what? I will tell you something. When you're in a casino and all of a sudden you see the police surround someone,
mm-hmm.
and you go, wow, they just came in the door, and
mm-hmm.
they're being taken out in handcuffs, it then puts a little light on in your brain. Thank God I'm not a bad person. Because guess what? If you have a warrant, it goes to the city and the state police.
Are you
and they,
serious?
I'm serious. I am very, very serious.
Going to the casino?
That's interesting.
Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa.
Now, I'm in Washington State, and we're talking about the Indian reservation casinos. Now, I can't tell you in Vegas, and I can't tell you in Reno that they do that. I can only tell you that in the Indian reservation casinos, they do that.
Wow. So if you're America's Most Wanted radio host,
you'd be better going to IHOP where they don't trace you.
Wow, that's interesting.
Hey, wow. You know,
but
the digital world.
Go ahead.
Take us back.
That goes back to what we were saying earlier about teaching our children, you know, this digital movement. You know, we've had the engineering revolution, and you know, we have this digital revolution that's in play now. We have to encourage, you know, our children to figure this out in music, you know, in business, regardless of what avenue they plan to take. You know, it's important for us as the parents. Yeah, a lot of people say, well, I can't do this for my child because of resources. Well, there's so many free resources out there, and shows like this are very crucial to the development of our youth at this point because they love the music. A lot of them participate in music. A lot of them have friends who follow them, you know, as they present their work. But in addition, on alternate days, I love the way Poetic that you have these topics for discussion, because I wonder, and at some point I'm sure you'll get the call-ins to validate, but I wonder how many children are actually picking up the tidbits, you know, that you're leaving, you know? I believe that this show is one of many that will create a revolution of children who will begin to understand business and what it takes to be in business is not just, or what it takes to be in the entertainment industry is not just music. It also takes a business mind. And you're
That's
here on this show.
And don't get me wrong, tonight I was listening to this whole program as we're going through the thing. And a lot of it was not just about music, but it was about what's
exactly
happening in a digital age, a digital revolution,
exactly,
a change of how society has come from one place to another, but how
exactly
it really affects the whole gamut of what we want to do in the music business.
Exactly, and for those individuals, everybody has a phone these days. Everybody can dial in. For those individuals who say, well, you know, we don't have cable TV, we can't watch that show, or, you know, our radio doesn't play because we're in this area, everybody has a phone. This is something that, you know, it's beginning to touch a lot of lives, especially due to social media, another digital outlet. And it's beginning to bring in people, because I know myself, I share your links and your and things and the past shows, and I have people questioning, well, how did you find this? And my son has begun to tune in, and he kind of likes what he's hearing. So, you know, I just want to commend you for what you're doing, and if you don't mind my saying, the ministry that you guys
Not
are doing
me.
Here.
My guy who chills with me on the side right here, Raw Dog.
Your team. I mean, your team. Same, you know, on. You guys
yeah.
have a Raw Dog. You guys are doing a great service here. And I tuned in before, you know, dialing in on a number of occasions since I met Poetic. And what you guys are doing, you're really making an impact. And not to gear away from the show, but, you know, like I said, a lot of kids are starting to realize that there is somebody out there that's being their voice, or that's hearing their voice, you know, and responding to their request.
Wow, that almost made me cry.
That makes us
sweet.
Feel good, actually. Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. What you just said, Jametti, is it allows us to realize that the importance behind this what we do, you know, it that is not in vain. That is reaching one to teach one and bring in a certain people who can probably be influenced to change the lives of the next generation. So I appreciate you giving that compliment, because it does help us. It helps us to stay encouraged.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
And then we won't fight with each other.
Yeah, me and him, we Jermaine, that's not true. He's gonna fight with me.
I had him running the other day. Let me try to tell you. I was trying to throw him over my knee and spank him like he was a little bitty baby.
Like Grandma used to say, I'm from the South. Teeth and tongue will fall out, but they'll always be together.
That's right. That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Because we have a common
goal,
you know.
They'll always be together. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Except Poetic snores. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. We got these little bitty feet, but we won't go into that. But you know what? This has been a good show. This has really been a good show.
We had some great people
you gonna tell
came me? In. That was good.
But
what was that?
Now, this is the year 2014. We have Spreaker going on. We're going to have a couple of more outlets. I've been talking to a few beat makers. We're trying to get a beat maker show going on here because we don't want to leave them out of being heard. You know, we're trying to do a lot of new things here in the year 2014. We had talked to someone about doing television and hopefully getting maybe some artists on there that we nominate from the show here. We're going to try to get a mixtape going on from the submissions that have been submitted to us. So there's a lot of things that we're going to try to grow and achieve with this show to help these young artists trying to get a start, trying to get a foothold, and trying to be noticed in this industry. And when you talked about the new digital technology tonight, see, there you go. You're growing up because, see, you found out and have new avenues to inform them about so that they can help their career. So
mm-hmm.
I think we got a good year going on here. You know, I really
and not to mention, you need to use technology for what it is. Today, you can transform your music into an MP3, upload it at Hip Hop National, get it into our library so we can play it and support it right here on a worldwide scale, not a small, you know, a community radio. Don't get me wrong. Even and I'll never take it away from FM. They are huge. But be honest with you, eventually, as the web take on, the effect of the web worldwide, you've got to jump on the digital age now because, really, internet radio is a powerful, powerful medium.
You left out a few things. We are number one on the planet for playing the independent artist. See, you know that letter said that, and you just don't – you're too modest. See, when you're 4'5", you don't tell everybody so that they can feel good about it. See, we are the number one playing
number
the most
one on
independent
the
artist in all over the world. We've got artists from Africa. We've got them from the U.K., I believe we're getting submissions from Japan, and you know the thing about it is that we
Canada,
have to,
Australia.
Now I wanted to bring up the submissions from Japan because we will play those. We've had somebody kind of listen to make sure the lyrics they're not offensive. You know, you can't sneak one by on us. But you know, hey, it's coming to us like that. And I just want to say to all the young artists, you know, use this avenue. Promote yourself. This is the digital age. Stop going out here doing, you know, these little $25 they charge you to be on the show and what have you. Spend that $25 here at Hip Hop National Radio. You're going to go further. You're going to feel better. And guess what? People are going to hear you. So, you know. Not trying to, but I am going to. We're here. Let them know. Because, you see, we get so many submissions that it's going to be harder and harder. We might even have to expand our hours to get more and more being played. So I'm proud of you, Poetic. This is the year 2014. You go, guy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Demetri, for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you. I said two pats on the back to you, Poetic.
Wow. That, oh, it feels good, too. I feel it. Oh, thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, appreciate it. No, I literally, guys, I do. We appreciate it here at Hip Hop National. Definitely when anybody tune in to help this movement go forward. So in your final thoughts, as a artist today, why do you think it's important that they do take advantage of the digital age as it is for them now, as in sense of communication, social media, and why that social media, because we got like 5 minutes, social media, how to use it effectively, because I think a lot of the young people today who's trying to get in this music business, I think they're damaging their image by some of the things that they post. Your thoughts?
Yes.
Are you talking to ladies first?
Yeah, Jemetti.
Well, I'm a poet, but still, you know, your CD and your social media is your business card. If you're in the music industry, what you present, if you want to attract the appropriate producer or the appropriate manager, you got to produce a quality product that can be listened to, as Poetic often states to me, something that can be listened to by everyone, because mom and dad are not going to bring in something that their children can't listen to. They're going to remove it from their homes and stop giving out allowances. So if you're waiting on the allowance money to come to you and you're not producing a quality product, stop waiting.
How about images? How about the image, the pictures that we put out outside of even our career as an artist? Let's say outside of the album cover or outside, you know, the what we're trying to promote, the medium that we're promoting. How about when we come out to our own personality and we're throwing our middle finger up to the world, or we got our shirts hanging out and we got a boob out, or we got a moon and splint. Don't you think that has an effect overall in marketing the product?
It has it plays a big part in marketing the product, because again, it's your calling card. You know, it tells a person all about your personality. It's the first impression is the lasting impression, and even in music, people look at your business, your physical type business card, and they can tell a lot about you. Why can't they tell that by looking at a picture of you half naked, you know, or middle finger up? I mean, what are you saying? Screw the world? Those are the people who are going to support you.
Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of hater comments on there, and then it's almost like that some of their fans, people who could be their fans, their attitude in some of their posts can push somebody away. That's just my opinion.
You know what? You know what?
For an unsigned artist who ain't got an image. You know what I mean? What's that?
Tell me if I'm wrong, both of you. If I can't get along on social media, how is a producer that's interested in 5 or 6 of my Facebook friends going to want to take us all on?
He's not gonna want to do that with you because of the fact that it may damage where he needs to go with you.
Exactly. So that's one thing that a lot of people need to keep in mind too. If you're argumentative on Facebook or whatever social media outlet, if you're causing a lot of drama, there's enough drama in entertainment now. Nobody needs any more. People are trying to figure out how to get rid of it without breaking contracts. So why pick up someone else who will cause unnecessary controversy?
I
all
hate
right.
to say this, Joe.
Hey, brother, pull up the out, OUT.
Well, you know what? I hate to say you guys this, but you know what? It is
our
just
time is
44 seconds. And
yeah, pull up the out, OUT.
You know what? Blog Talk is at its best right now.
All right. I have no access.
Well, you know what it just did to me? It did what it shouldn't have done. It's dropped the whole board on me. Well, look here. All we can say is this. Since we don't have that, God bless you. We love you. I swear, the young lady that's on the board, she's an angel.
Jamedi,
and I appreciate you for coming on tonight.
I appreciate you.
And I know Poetic appreciates you. And
thanks,
the
guys.
Only thing I can tell you is please come back again.
No
know?
Worries. I'll come back.
Okay.
Right. You guys are doing a lot here, and I thank you guys. I thank you guys for my kids that are in the community.
And I thank you. God bless you. And
God
we're
bless.
Out.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good night.